Yeah, and I was lucky. Like, you know, I got my mom, right? And so like, but the point is that, you know, the trust there was inherent, but anybody who has somebody on the ground that they can trust can do the same thing. I was lucky that I just already, you know, I was born with that. But if you can build that, and if you can build that person on the ground that you trust, and they can call you like, hey, here's a deal. You can walk through that deal with them and trust their judgment, and you can execute deals quickly, and you can do it.
Hey, freedom fighters. Welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the only place where military members, veterans, and their families learn how to build wealth through real estate investing. I'm your host, Mike Foster, and I'm here to show you how to stop wasting your benefits. Now get off your ass, step up to the firing line, and make ready for today's lesson. Shooter standby. Did you hear that? That was the sound of my new Igloo home lock. This thing is awesome, guys, all right? If you've got a vacation rental that you need a lockbox for, or if you're a real estate agent and you need something for your listings that you can control from your phone, you guys need to check this product out. I love the app. I love the look. It's so sleek, and it even has a way for you to charge the device in case the batteries die on it. Guys, I'm telling you, this thing is great. And if you want 15% off, you can get it with the code ADPI. Go ahead and click the link in the show notes page to go and check out your new Igloo home lockbox and get 15% off with the code ADPI, and you will be impressed. All right. I'm so excited to use this, guys, and I will catch you guys in the show. Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast. We have another awesome guest. Here it is on a Tuesday. What is going on, Ian? How you doing, brother?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Bro, I am so excited. We got Ian Cameron here. He is a Marine Recon Naval Academy graduate, class of 12, former brother of mine, man, a fellow brother of mine, always, right? That's it. And super excited to have him, man. This is a great podcast that's coming up, because it's a good story on how you're able to, you know, stay in the military and invest in real estate systematically. But also, it's going to have an interesting twist, right? Because he has an awesome story, and I'm not going to steal his thunder, but an amazing influence that has brought into his life. And really, I want to highlight too in this the power of how influence and mentorship can just alter you in the best direction. I'm so excited about it, but I'm not gonna get into it. Brother, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, Mike. No, thanks for having me, and I'm really excited. I actually, unfortunately, only learned about active duty passive income in the last few months.
Where you been?
Man.
Where you been, bro?
I have no idea, but ever since I did, I've just really been following what you guys are doing and really impressed what you guys are putting out there. And if I had learned about you guys 5 years ago, I'd be so much further ahead now. So thank you guys for what you're doing and just the awesome content that you're putting out. And I'm excited to share my story with you guys today.
Yeah.
Dude, it's an honor, man. It's an honor to serve here, especially. I mean, we all kind of say it too in our own little right? We all wish we had this before we got started, but it's been great, right? Even just doing this and picking up and meeting awesome folks like you, meeting awesome folks like Kevin, right? Out there crushing it and just taking action, man. It's inspiring. So super, super pumped to be here.
Yeah. On that note, Mike, thanks for the intro.
Oh yeah. By the way, we got Kevin on the podcast here, guys. You know,
like every week.
What's up, Kevin? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up,
Mike? I didn't see you there.
Yes, you did. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to, I know why you're so excited. It's because you guys both went to the Naval Academy. You picked the wrong service. You do this all the time to me, Michael, every time. It's all about the Air Force, guys. But, you know, it is what it is. I understand. We got a lot going on. And before we jump into this, I just want to give our listenership an update on what is going on in the community.
Yeah,
like in everything, exactly. You know, in Adam, in MFA, and Amria, and there we have so many facets in this podcast. So just a quick snapshot, guys. If you don't know what is going on with active duty passive income, we have lending, we have commercial lending, we have residential lending, we have commercial lending. We're launching a whole life insurance. We have a residential up to 4-unit mastermind, Operation Atom, where you get Mike and myself, me and Mike, in a private Facebook group. We have the Multifamily Academy, which is run by Tim and Adam, and it is amazing. It's like so much information. We have Mike and Markion's MREA, Military Real Estate Investing Academy, the flagship course, which, by the way, Mike, we are redoing right now.
Revamping.
Total revamp. It. And it's going to be awesome because we're like, so kind of in the past, it was like, if you've done the MREA before, you know, it's a lot of Mike and it's a lot of Markion and they interview guests. We're now bringing on the entire ADPI team to like do specific topics that they are pros in and just giving you so many different viewpoints, and it's and the quality, it's going to be so cool. So plus we're doing calculators and we're doing action journals, and there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So guys, I just challenge you, if you're just listening to the podcast, get involved in the community because there's so much cool stuff. But let's get back to Mike and Ian, because you promised me a good story, so I want to hear a good story.
Oh, it's coming, man. Ian, what's going on, brother? Tell us about your background and how you got started in real estate investing.
Yeah, so I, Naval Academy, class of 2012.
13.
Yeah, that's right. And so my mother, actually, so she is an investor and has, you know, built up a small portfolio over the years in my hometown of Rochester, Minnesota. So real estate's something that kind of I grew up with, you know, like that's what... On the weekends or in the summer, we were over at my mom's houses. We were, you know, turning them over, cutting the grass, whatever. So it was just kind of something that was always around. And by the time I graduated the Naval Academy and entered the fleet, I decided, hey, maybe it's time for me to try this a little bit. And I think originally I wanted to buy a primary residence, which is a great strategy, you know, but I think my first duty station was in Camp Pendleton, California, Southern California. And I got up there and I was like, looking at million-dollar homes.
Yeah.
Like, sure. If I'm ready for this. So being a good realtor and a saleswoman, my mom came in and said, well, here, how about you buy, you know, something for under 100K in Rochester? And I said, that sounds like a much better, you know, much more palatable way to get into real estate. So that's what we did, and started with my first property. With her, and she has kind of been my mentor, and she is the one that helps me think about deals. She's the one that has helped me manage this small portfolio that we built up. So that's just been really important, and the value of having her kind of teach me that and kind of help me dip my toes in the water. And as we've gone on, I think we acquired the first single family home in 2015. Mm-hmm. And we've gradually every 6 to 9 months, we'll just pick up another property. And along the way I've, you know, started doing my own education. But the takeaway is that she was the one that helped me get into it. We've been investing in Rochester, Minnesota ever since. So right now the current portfolio is 6 single family homes in, Rochester, Minnesota. And actually we're looking at a triplex right now. So hoping, if the inspection goes well tomorrow, hoping to make an offer on that. So learned a lot along the way.
Nice.
Continuing to expand. Love that market, and we're going to keep investing in Rochester.
Tell me, where is Rochester? I know nothing about Minnesota. You know, let me preface that. Never been there. I know it's a big state. It probably takes forever to drive. I know the Vikings. Where is Rochester?
So the Vikings are in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Twin Cities. And so the biggest population center outside of that is Rochester. It's about an hour and a half south.
Okay.
And so the Mayo Clinic is in Rochester, Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So Actually, Rochester, Minnesota is in kind of, it's an interesting place. It's in a really rural, that part of Minnesota, Southern Minnesota, think of it as like Iowa pretty much. Huh. It's a pretty rural area, and Rochester, Minnesota is just kind of plopped right down in the middle of it. You have this world-class medical facility. And then outside of it gets rural pretty quickly. So growing up, like where my family's home was, we were 10 minutes away from everything in this town of about 100,000 people, a decent sized town. Mm-hmm. But at the same time,
yeah,
to my deer stand. So kind of a interesting place to grow up, where it's both this kind
of, you got country and city situation going on. Yeah.
But it's an interesting market, especially because the reason I love it for a lot of reasons, but it's a single employer. That's the Mayo Clinic. That's the largest, by far the largest employer. And so that's a risk. If there's, a risk in investing in any market is its employer base. And if you're investing in a place that has a single employer, like Rochester, Minnesota,
that's
definitely a risk. But if you're ever going to take a risk on a single employer, healthcare and an organization like the Mayo Clinic is probably the best way to mitigate that. So we love the city and we'll keep investing there.
Yeah, I think you brought up a really, really good point. Well, two good points. One about having that mentor, because a lot of people will say like, oh, well, I want to get into real estate, but I really need a mentor, and I want to ask you this after this point, but kind of the challenges you face, because were you as excited getting into real estate as your mom, was when she was doing real estate? Because I know, like, if I'm 19 years old and I'm in the Naval Academy or something, my parents are like, yo, you should buy some real estate. I'd be like, screw you, dad. You don't know me. Was that going on, or did you see kind of the writing on the wall per se, ahead of time growing
up? I wasn't necessarily excited to invest in real estate, but more just interested and wanted to know what it was about. Having seen my mom invest in real estate and just kind of being around it, I kind of wanted to try it out for it. So I'd say it was more curiosity and interest rather than excitement. Is what led me into it. And my mom was willing to facilitate that. And after doing the first deal and kind of seeing the pay, seeing a check show up in my bank account every single month, that was pretty powerful.
Right?
Yeah. that puts all the animosity away,
turns the light bulb on and makes sense. Things become real. That's it.
But I always like to ask people, like, what's that light bulb moment? A lot of people, it's like when they read a book or when they come into our community or another community or something, and they see all these people doing this thing. But for you, it was kind of like, you grew up in this, but you were able to see it really quickly. Like, if I were in your shoes, I'd be like, too stubborn or too stupid to like see, I needed a book.
And there was definitely, in terms of light bulb moments, there's definitely a lot more, that first check that hit my bank account was when it turned from curiosity to excitement, probably. But there's definitely like milestones along the way. I think a lot of us have read, a certain book, everybody's read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. Reading that one for me, I read that after maybe my first or second deal. Wow. And that one for me was like, oh, leverage. I get it now. Debt is good, which is not something, an idea I grew up with. At the time, I still didn't have a credit card because debt was always a bad, bad, bad thing. So it was a little bit of a mindset shift that occurred along the way. And so like multiple light bulb moments, that one of them was getting that first check. Maybe another one was reading a book and being like, oh, leverage, that's something that is really attractive and something that I want to pursue.
That's awesome, man. So tell us, walk us through, you going through the process of acquiring these properties, right? I mean, I'm assuming you were not in Minneapolis for acquiring a lot of this real estate. Correct me if I'm wrong, but.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And so we figured something out every single time. So I think, in the Marine Corps, I started, so I was with 1st Battalion, 1st Marines in Southern California, Camp Pendleton. We did a deployment to the South Pacific as an infantry officer. And then I went over to the reconnaissance community, was with 2nd Reconnaissance Battalion out of Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and did a deployment to Afghanistan in 2018, 2019. And so, definitely like the time I spent in the military, definitely high tempo. And so investing in real estate along the way created some extra challenges. So I think the first deal we did, I was in on my first deployment, I was in the South Pacific when we did the first one. I think the fifth one, I was in Afghanistan. And then the sixth one, I was in a tent in 29 Palms, California for 2 months. Actually, for any of the Marines.
That's where you need to get your real estate, 29 Palms. It's
cheap out there,
it's
bro.
It's cheap, boys. It's dirt cheap.
But there's for any of the Marines that are listening to this, they'll know there's a camp. It's called Camp Wilson. It's like basically the last place where there's, you know, plumbing before you go out into the desert. And that's where everybody kind of stays in tents. And there's a single place, there's kind of a small hill and there's some rusted out old tanks up there, but there's enough cell phone reception that you can actually like, you know, text your girlfriend or whatever. So you'll see Marines, like, you know, dozens of Marines, like all standing around this rusted out tank hall with their phones trying to get reception. And so I was one of them at the time, you know, trying to like connect and text my, yep, you know, it definitely created some challenges. But we got them done. So, closing was always a trick. It was depending on who the closing agent was, how we did that. Sometimes I get my younger sisters sign over a power of attorney to them to do the documents. The closing agent wasn't comfortable with me not being a person. So we've always kind of had to figure something out for every deal.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
No, that's cool. But that is what you're doing is a lot of people wouldn't do it. That, first of all, yeah, people wouldn't invest out of state. I mean, granted, you're investing in your hometown and you know the area and stuff, but they wouldn't invest from being out of state, and they certainly wouldn't invest from 29 Palms or the South Pacific or, yeah, you know, or Afghanistan. Like, you're making those moves, and it all goes to what Mike and I preach day in and day out about taking action. I mean, it's just, you just do it. And when you come into a problem, you overcome it, just like the military teaches us, adapt and overcome. And you did it, and I'm sure you're thanking yourself now that you did it when you did it.
Hey everybody, this is Adam Labar. Tim and I created the Military Multifamily Academy and Mastermind to bring together all of our knowledge and experience with multifamily investing to every one of you guys out there, and we want to share all of our experiences. One of the things that I struggled with was I got really educated and struggled taking action. It wasn't until I became a part of a mastermind and pushed myself forward with a group of like-minded individuals that I was finally able to buy my first property and to continue to buy more and more after that.
With all the accomplishments and everything that the ADPI team and ADPI Capital team has done, there was a time when we had no idea what we were doing and we had no idea who we wanted to become. Personally, there was a time when I was so broken, I thought I was done, and I thought I would have been no good to anyone. And then there was something revolutionary that happened. I decided to invest more in myself and work with paid coaches and mentors. This is why we put together the Multifamily Academy and Mastermind. We want you to join the ranks of us and other action takers. The waitlist is open today, and our launch is about to commence for a short period of time to a limited amount of people. Join the waitlist now.
Because you've got equity and you got rent coming in.
Yeah. And I was lucky. Like, you know, I got my mom, right? And so like, but the point is that, you know, the trust there was inherent, but anybody who has somebody on the ground that they can trust can do the same thing. I was lucky. Yeah. I just already, you know, I was born with that. But if you can build that, and if you can build that person on the ground that you trust, and they can call you like, hey, here's a deal. You can walk through that deal with them and trust their judgment. And you can execute deals quickly, and you can do it from afar for sure.
Absolutely, man. And then not only that too, but a flip point. And I want to, bro, again, I'll touch on this just a little bit because I'm feeling this right now, right? This is my feels. I got my first kid on the way. Guys, if you are not having conversations about financial freedom and real estate with your children, you're wrong. Okay, because this right here is an example of how, you know, just one little seed that you plant in your children can absolutely game change their future. And you could be their boots on ground to help them out while they're trying to, you know, make their careers happen, make their dreams happen, right? Real estate doesn't have to be their life, doesn't have to be their passion, but you can help them get, how many properties you have right now, Ian?
That's six.
Six. And he's about to close on a triplex. So soon to be 9 units. Let's go. My boy's cash roll in the bank. That's it. I love it. I love that, man. That's phenomenal.
And so, we say this all the time. We say like, you know, helping veterans and military build generational wealth. Think about it, guys. Generational. It doesn't mean that you build up a massive portfolio necessarily and pass it on to your kids. That's great if you can, but if you can pass on the idea, you know, if you teach if you teach someone, what's the saying, Mike, help me out here. Teach a man to fish.
Teach a man to fish, you'll feed him forever.
Yes.
You give him a fish, you only feed him for a night. And so, right.
What Mike said.
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
No, but like that concept is so powerful, and you can just, you know, I would say it's even more powerful than just giving someone properties, because guess what? If you give, you know, your kid properties and you don't teach them any of the business, they're going to be like saddled with this stuff. And they're like, oh my God, what do? I got to sell all these. I don't know what to do. And it could be the biggest mistake. So yeah, Ian, you're lucky, but you're also an action taker. And I respect that.
100%, bro.
Yeah. And it's, and you know, the motivation for me, I mean, like we talked about, that first check is like, oh wow, that's big. Mm-hmm. But the original motivation remains to this day. And that is, you know, just inherent curiosity and interested in learning about real estate. And that's not true at all. There's all sorts of great resources, but by far and away, the best way to learn is to do it. And so the most I learned was by doing that first deal. That set me up for the second. And what I've learned from, you know, holding onto those properties has set me up for more. And so it's a continual process of learning, and it's happening by doing it. And
yeah.
And it's amazing, like once you're in it, how many different ways, and you guys are perfect examples of this, how many different ways it can take you and how many doors it opens.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so, I mean, you guys and the work that you're doing with ADPI is a perfect example of that. And for me, you know, I never anticipated when I started investing in real estate, I wasn't thinking about getting out of the Marine Corps yet. But here I am a few years, actually my EAS is 1 June. So I'm actually technically still in terminal leave.
Almost there.
There you go.
Almost. Oh, terminal. There you go.
Oh, terminal leave. Heck yeah.
Yeah. But it was actually, so I'm actually working now for a real estate startup company in Silicon Valley. And it was my background, just investing small time, you know, in Rochester, Minnesota, that kind of like opened me to those possibilities and what kind of some of the cool things that are happening in prop tech right now, and steered me to the kind of my post-career military career transition. So just the point is that learning by doing, you're learning as you're going on, and it opens so many different doors that you can't project at the beginning of it.
That's it, man. Do you want to walk us through real quick? Because I definitely want to get to what you're doing now too. Guys, this is a really cool, really cool platform that he's working with. We'll definitely get to that in a second, but can you give us maybe one challenge, or maybe one or two, right, challenges you experienced along the way while you were, you know, going about acquiring these properties, especially since you were so far away?
Yeah. So the acquisition process, I'd say the management process is the toughest one. And I think that is often, especially for active duty guys who are trying to, and gals, who are trying to invest maybe away from where they're stationed, or they're buying primary residences and they're moving on after they get stationed somewhere else, is managing properties remotely. That's a challenge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the decisions about how you approach a management company, that's really important. And having a good management company is really, really important if you're going to go that route. There's people who self-manage, and more power to them. That's awesome. But regardless, no matter what path you take, there's challenges that come up with that. Even if you have a management company, there is management involved with rental properties. We call it passive income. You know, it's anyway, you know, sometimes it's not
you got to manage your money, right?
Yeah.
You got to manage your money. It doesn't matter where you put it.
And so for me, it's been, I can't speak to a single event, but it's been a continual process of trying to improve those processes. And hey, how do we, you know, something, you know, my mom again is my property manager, and she's really, really good at some things. I can tell you one thing she's not good at is accounting and finances. Mm. And so that's something I've had to like bring into the equation. And getting that straight and setting up those systems and processes, it takes work. And obviously the goal is to set them up, put the work in up front, and then let them run on autopilot. I'm not there yet. So still trying to set those up.
You're getting there, brother. You're definitely getting there. And I mean, a perfect segue really to when we're talking about these systems that you want to implement. Guys, Zeebo, right? This company that Cameron's working with is absolutely incredible. So why don't we go ahead and talk a little bit about some of the systems that you guys use there if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason what why I was so excited about this company. Sazebo is a financial services platform for independent landlords. And so kind of a one-stop shop where you can bring in all your different bank accounts into one place and manage your cash flows in one place. So automate your rent collections coming in with online rent payments, be able to pay all your property management companies, your vendors, your plumbers, all in one spot. And then taking on top of that, we're able to take kind of all those transactions that are happening and leverage that data into superior lending and insurance products. So rather than, you know, I have great insurance right now and with, you know, a guy in Rochester, Minnesota, who in 2003, when my parents moved there, somebody they went to the church with was like, yep, Mark's the guy you need to go to. And he's great. But like, you know, there's probably, and I got lucky, you know, I have a broker that set me up with good insurance, but like, there's probably better ways of going about that. And with what kind of the tools we have available to us now. So we're trying to leverage that. And the platform that we have today with the payments platform, being able to automate that rent collection and see everything in one place is for me a crucial part of getting my systems to where they need to be to make, you know, real estate investing in single family rentals something a little closer to passive income.
There you go. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But what yeah. I really like the fact that you're able to extrapolate a lot of that data, right? I mean, you see some great systems out there, right? Stessa, use Cozy. I use some awesome property management softwares, but you know, they don't necessarily extrapolate the data and distribute it for you. You kind of take that, maybe you take the Excel file, you got to organize it, and then you hand it to your accountant or you hand it to your banker and you kind of hope for the best. What's really interesting is that you guys take care of that on top of that, and you get lending solutions to, you know, your clients, right? Which is cool. I mean, that's really, really unique and not something you've heard or you really hear out there. So I like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think it's important. I mean, we're right here in the heart of Silicon Valley. So like the guys, you know, I'm working with our CEO, actually a West Point guy.
God, so Naval Academy, Navy and Army. God,
yeah, oh man.
We have a Naval Academy 08 guy that works with us. He played Navy baseball. Thomas Hamilton works with us as well. So we have some strong representation from the service academies at the company.
There it is.
But being in the heart of Silicon Valley, we're able to, you know, like we have access to some of that just incredible talent around here that's worked on some really hard problems in fintech, in some lending platforms previously. So we're able to bring that into our property. We're focused on the independent landlord and the issues that the independent landlord has. But we're able to take some of the like really, really cool technology that's coming online and leverage that in a space that hasn't seen a ton of change. You know, property management and finances for independent landlords, you know, hasn't really changed a ton in the last 20, 30 years. And so we think that there's some really cool stuff that's coming online that we can offer to guys like you and me. You know, the big players out there, the guys with, you know, the institutional investors with hundreds of properties, hundreds of units, they have access to some of those preferential relationships that gets them, you know, the best rates on loans and gets them the systems that they need. And they're able to pay for the lawyers and the bookkeepers. Guys like you and me, we, you know, we're running on a lot tighter budgets.
Yeah. So we're running on Excel.
We have all the tools for free to help people like you and me manage our properties. I think we have an opportunity to do that. And part of the reason why I'm excited about that is, you know, a lot of like in the Marine Corps, a lot of my friends like, hey, like what you're doing with real estate is really cool. I'd like to do the same. And I always felt bad being like, you know, yes, I'd love to help you. But man, it would be really hard to do this without my mom, you know?
Yeah.
And so, that, you know, I always didn't really have an answer. And so this is one piece of it is like, okay, here's a tool that I can give to these same friends that are like, hey, how can I get started? Here's a tool. And that's another reason why I think what you guys are doing is so cool. You know, my response was like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, do you have a mom who does, you know?
cool.
Whereas you guys were like, okay, let's start this group and get people the education.
The no, but it, but it's definitely to get people connected too, right? And yeah. to the point you made earlier, it doesn't matter if it's your mom, your dad, your uncle, your cousin, a friend, right? I mean, we're all here connected, almost 6 feet
apart from
each
other,
right?
Or someone in the Facebook community, you know?
Yeah, or someone in our Facebook community. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, we're all service members here, right? I mean, we all share a common bond. So the trust that's within us is almost inherently given because of what we've been through. And that says a whole lot more than just some random person you meet off another Facebook group or some random person you meet down the street, right? So whatever you can do to form a bond, form it, right? And just, find that person that can be your boots on ground expert, even if that person's only there for a PCS season, 3 years. Hey, that 3 years is still a long time, and you can find some good deals together, do some good business together, and just make something happen.
No, Mike, you're absolutely right. And I think it's finding your competitive advantage. Like, what is my competitive advantage? Like, everybody out there can buy real estate, but why can I do it better than somebody else? And when you're starting out, when you've never done it before and you don't really know what you're doing, that answer is hard to answer. That question is hard to answer sometimes. And so often the answer is, well, I have local knowledge. And so for me, my competitive advantage happened to be my mom. But for Mike, to speak to your point, especially for military members, their competitive advantage is this incredible network. And I talked about like why it's been so successful to work with my mother, like that inherent trust. Well, it might not be your mom, but the guys that you have been serving with, like that bond is also pretty, like the trust that's been built there is also pretty powerful. So if you have somebody in a different location, whatever it is, like that for a lot of military members is their competitive advantage. And being able to find that and to have that trust and to leverage those connections and trust is often that piece that people just starting out can use to actually get into a property that makes sense for them.
And I would throw something out there too, real quick, is to say, like, you have to, if you're trying to get into real estate and you don't know anything about real estate or anything, you have to tell people that you're interested in real estate. Because that's how you build that network. I mean, Mike, how many people on this show have we interviewed where, they had mentioned, they started talking about real estate and they had that curiosity that Ian has, and they're like, oh, my NCO actually has a quadplex and they buy quadplex. Like, we interview these people all the time that where they're like E2s or E3s, and then they're like, they just ask the question because it's not something that, like, it's so weird that Americans, like, we don't talk about our finances. It's like the biggest cultural secret that, like, right? It blows my mind. It sometimes just totally blows my mind. But, like, no one talks about it. So if you don't bring it up and say, like, hey, this, have you guys ever invested in real estate or real estate? I bet if you asked someone in your platoon right now or someone in your flight or whatever the heck the Navy calls it, I don't know what you guys do.
Unit?
Your ship,
I mean, that's pretty universal. Your unit.
But you ask someone, right? I bet there's someone in there that either does real estate themselves or knows someone, or like, oh, my mom's a real estate agent, or my brother, or what. Like, that's that connection. And everyone in the military, like Mike was saying, we're all into connection and we love helping each other out. So it's really a no-brainer, guys. If you're struggling with that first step and you're like, God, I've been following ADPI and I kind of like real estate, but I don't know what to do, just ask someone at work. That's it. Just ask someone and, you might find something out.
And Kevin, I'll follow up on that, especially for military, like another, what's, for active duty military folks, and I know you guys do a ton of work with this, but what's your competitive advantage? Probably people but also the VA loan. Nobody has access to the financing that we have as active duty and as veterans.
Preach.
Just starting out, you already have a leg up on everybody because you have access to the VA loan.
That's very true. Yeah. So guys, if you haven't gotten started yet, behind the curve, man, you had all of COVID to,
VA loan mastery course, out, right? VA That's loan it. Mastery course. It's exactly. Free, y'all. It's on the freaking website.
Come on, man. Anyway, listen, dude, this is absolutely amazing. We've been crushing it, dude. And so much amazing value. We're going to take us to the bonus round real quick, man. And we got four questions for you. I know it's going to be great. First one, what is your favorite book or business tool that you use?
Oh boy. Okay. I don't know if this isn't business. Well, I guess we could tie it to business, but yeah. I just read a good book. I'm not sure if it's my favorite, but the most recent book I read was, Barbarian Days by William Finnegan. Barbarian Days. And it's actually a memoir of, William Finnegan is a New Yorker writer. So he's a, phenomenal mm-hmm. writer for the New Yorker magazine. And he's actually, and also a lifelong surfer. And so it's a memoir about his surfing career, actually. I just absolutely loved it for a few reasons. And it was, I think part of it is, part of what I like to do, I'm a big outdoors guy. And so having that, I'm not a surfer. I've been, been on a surfboard a few times. It's not anything pretty, but, skiing or biking or whatever it is, that connection, being outdoors, being with nature, having that kind of physical pursuit and like the pursuit of excellence, for an amateur, I think is just absolutely is something that resonates with me. That's something that I learn things from my pursuits as an amateur that I can apply to my professional career or to real estate investing, things that you're taking very, very seriously. William Finnegan's Barbarian Days. It's a memoir about surfing. So check that one out. That's awesome.
I love that. Yeah, I love that, man. Yeah, a lot of times we get like business books and stuff, but it's refreshing to get like a book that is, something like that, but then you can apply, you can pull lessons from that and apply it to anywhere in your life. That's really cool. All right. Question number two, who is your biggest hero and why?
So it's gotta be a Naval Academy guy, John McCain.
Okay. Oh, okay. Right McCain. On.
Actually. I think most people that resonates with a lot of people. A lot of people respect him for the same reasons I do, but actually kind of a quick story of how John McCain got me to kind of where I am now, put me on the path that led me to the Marine Corps, was in 2006, I was a high school sophomore, when John McCain was just starting to run for president, in 2008, early on. And so he came to town, Rochester, Minnesota to campaign for my local congressman. He was starting to hit the circuit. And, I was me and my debate partner at the time, we're real kind of interested in politics, and we thought John McCain coming to town was really cool. So we played hooky from school. We put on suits and a tie and showed up at the event. It was $300. It was a fundraiser, right? So it was like $300 a plate at a breakfast. So we showed up and we waited outside because we wanted to shake his hand. Well, anyways, they eventually were like, "What are these kids doing here?" And they started talking to us, and they brought us into the event to meet the senator. And, we got him like a cup of, he sent us on a, he was like, "Hey, you two, here's a $20 bill. Go get me a cappuccino. I got a mission."
Oh, no.
It was great. No, it was great. It was like, just,
that's true. You got to meet him. Yeah.
And so we come back with his cappuccino and we had a great conversation with him. It was awesome. Anyways, I met the congressman's staff at that, and they called me the next day. It was like, "Hey, there's this program in Washington, D.C. called the Congressional Page Program. Why don't you apply to that?" So I ended up spending my junior year in Washington, D.C. as a congressional page. And that's where I visited the Naval Academy for the first time and kind of
started. Oh, wow. Look at that chain of events.
They took us on a field trip to Annapolis, Maryland.
You see that?
Naval Academy.
You never know what sparks it, man.
And then take this really full circle. Last year, I was in Afghanistan. In Helmand Province, the senator had died just a few, I think it was the late fall or the summer of 18.
Yeah.
And, I was running an operations center at the time. We're doing airstrikes in, Southern Afghanistan. And, there was this like helicopter pilot, who was training with like the Afghans who kept in, he had some issues. So he was talking to the air officer, but I kept looking over at him and I saw his name tape was McCain. I kept looking at him and he had this like familiar jaw structure and I looked over at him a few times. So anyways, I bumped in and I was like, so I bumped into him later and sure enough, it was John McCain's son and we got to know each other. He had just kind of rotated in and we got to know each other pretty good.
Wow.
So it just all came full circle.
That's crazy. Yeah. I remember, I was out in the Pacific while he was too. I remember a friend of mine, served with him on the same boat. whatever. But anyway, yeah, man, that's good, dude. I love the fact there real quick, just how you put yourself in the opportunity, right? Because none of that would have happened if you hadn't, you know, said, you know what, dude, forget school. This is more important. Let's just go ahead.
Let's go get that cappuccino.
Let's go get that cappuccino, right? But look at the trickle effect, right? And so, guys, this is, you know, it just kind of goes back to it. Don't be afraid to put yourself an opportunity. If you have ever been in a position where you feel scared, you're nervous, right, to do something because you have no idea, like, what's going to happen on the back end, don't be afraid because you never know when that could positively change the trajectory of your life. I mean, listen to this. This is crazy. The one decision to skip school. I mean, I don't know, Ian. You look like a goody two shoes, bro. Have you ever skipped school before? Was that the first time?
Well, it was with my debate partner to go to.
Yes.
That's what I figured, right?
There's a joke there I'm going to let go, but.
All joking aside, though, man. Like, I mean, that's phenomenal, dude. I mean, you guys went there with passion and purpose. And you were able to take advantage of the opportunities that just came after that. And look at you, man. Hats off, bro. Killing it. Yeah. Well done, dude. All right. I'm sorry. I'm out here like super hype right now. That's just crazy. That's just like God moving, man. Give me chills. All right. Question number three. What do you like to do for fun?
So yeah, outdoor sports, endurance sports. So marathon runner, ran my first Ironman recently.
Wow.
Can't say that was fun, but it was an accomplishment.
That's crazy.
Something that's more fun though is actually quarantine. The great thing about being out here in California is the mountain bike, or just like it's perfect weather every day. And I got like great mountain biking trails. That's a mile away from my house. So
that's cool.
I've been able to break into that during quarantine. So the outdoor activities, that's what I like to do.
Yeah. I hear you on the biking. I got myself a little road bike last week and there's no one in DC. There's no one on the road. So I'm going down Independence Avenue, like in the middle of the road. I don't care. it is an interesting time. So guys, if you're out there and you're looking for something to do, pick up a bicycle. It's fun and they're cheap. Okay. Question number four. If you had three nuggets, Ian, to give to someone who's maybe on the fence about real estate investing or just getting started, what would those three nuggets of wisdom be from your experience?
I only got one.
Okay, one.
And it's just start. And that's the best way to learn is to learn by doing. And so the motivation for your first deal should not necessarily be, hey, I'm going to make a ton of money on this, because you may or may not, you know. But if you can get the education ahead of time and go into it confidently, being like, hey, you know what? I'll be okay. I probably won't lose my shirt. And there is significant upside. But I know for sure I'm going to learn from this, and I'm going to make sure that my second deal is even better, and my third, my fourth, my hundredth. That happens by doing the first one and starting to learn now. So get started. There is never a good time to start investing in real estate. What I mean by that is that there's always, you know, being deployed is a really good excuse not to, you know, invest in real estate. Mike, I know you're expecting your first kid. That's a really good excuse not to invest in real estate. You know, your life is hectic right now. And just about everybody listening to this has a good excuse not to invest in real estate. And it's just making the decision that you're going to do it despite all the good reasons not to, and to start learning and getting that learning curve going.
Yeah. Correct.
Absolutely right, man. And even, you know, just, you know, highlighting that when you push past that excuse, right? Good or not, when you push past it, that's where growth happens and magic happens in that growth. So yes. Yes, my man. Thank you for saying that. That is amazing wisdom right there.
Yeah, I love it. Amazing and wisdom. If anyone's listening to this right now and they hear what Ian's saying about just starting and they're like, what if I screw up? Well, you're in a community of 10,000 plus real estate investors, yes, military real estate investors. You can type up a question and ask it for free. Yeah. But everyone's here willing to help. So I guarantee you any question that you have about starting about real estate investing, our community is going to step up to the plate and answer that for you. Like, you have everything at your fingertips, guys. We live in an amazing world right now. So take advantage of that and don't let that excuse get in your way.
I'm gonna let it end with that, Kevin. That was a great way to end it, brother. Ian, thank you so much for the value that you brought on the show, dude. It was so great to connect with you again, bro. Really appreciate it, man. How can our listeners get in touch with you?
So you can email me. I'm Ian, I-A-N, at Zeebo.co. And check us out at www.zeebo.co. We have our payments platform is up and running. So if you're looking to kind of get your business and your real estate portfolio in order and get your finances and your rent collection automated, give me a call. I'll onboard you and I'll tell you everything you need to know get you started. So Zeebo.co, check us out.
Yeah, we'll have all those links. We'll have those links in the show notes, guys. So check your email, check out the show notes, and just scroll down and click on those, and we'll get you in touch with Ian. So Ian, thanks a lot, man, for coming on the show. This is awesome.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it, and appreciate all the work you're doing with ADPI.
Outstanding. That was an awesome episode. Thanks so much to our special guest, and thanks to you for listening. If you haven't hit the subscribe button yet, make sure you go and do that. Or schedule a call with us by texting ADPI to 444-999 or checking out our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com to find out how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today. I'll see you guys next week.